shoot, man, it was awesome. You know, it was awesome. I thought we had a couple times down the stretch where we didn't show composure in this game as well, that we got to talk about. But I think overall, you know, we knew what we were going to have to do to give ourselves a chance in this game, playing against a team that is so brilliant offensively like they are. I said we got to win the first 10 seconds of every possession. If we win the first 10 seconds, we're going to give ourselves a chance to win. And about for 70% of the game, we did. And that gave us a chance. And obviously, we had some guys step up and be special. You know, Jeremy was and has been. He's just been incredible, you know, for us. Malcolm and his presence. D.A., you know, he was a force the entire game. He was a force. And then our other guys, they just chipped in and played well. You know, everybody did. But I was so happy for us defensively, you know. And what we did today, I'll be honest, there's not a lot of teams in the league that can do what we did today. Coming off of such an emotional loss last night, being up 26 and them coming back and losing, coming here against a team like this. I'm just so proud of our dudes, man. I'm so proud of them.
This is Jabari Walker, and you're listening to The Briefcase with Casey Holdall.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to The Briefcase, episode 67 of The Briefcase. I am Casey Holdall, and that was Chauncey Billups discussing Portland's victory versus the Pacers in Indiana Monday night, their first road victory since the first day of November. The Blazers are getting healthy, and as we're starting to see players come back into the lineup, the improvement, which you would expect, has really started to get back to where this team was at, I think, in the first couple weeks of the season, before Malcolm Brogdon, before Scoot Henderson went down. Wins are still a bit tough to come by, but the team that we've seen that executes well in the fourth quarter seems to be back. And I think that's one of the things that I think you really feel good about this Trailblazers team so far this season. Even unlike when they had more talent on the team, it just seems like they do a better job of executing and staying in games late. Obviously, they've had some bad breaks go their way. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But otherwise, the Blazers team that seemed like they were making some progress a few weeks ago before those injuries feels like they're back. It's good to be back too. It's obviously been a while since we've had a briefcase. Took a little bit of a break because of the schedule and the holiday, but we'll be back multiple episodes every week. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. We'll talk about where the Blazers are at. We'll discuss where they're at in terms of the spread, do a little discussion of the G League, and we'll set up the rest of the schedule for this week on this edition of the Briefcase. As I mentioned, Blazers getting perhaps their best win of the season Monday night with a 114-110 victory versus the Indiana Pacers in Indianapolis. Pacers with the most efficient offense in the NBA. Trailblazers held them, quote-unquote, to 110 points. As Chauncey mentioned, not a whole lot of teams doing that these days. The Trailblazers, on the second night of a back-to-back after a very difficult loss the night before in Milwaukee to Damian Lillard and the Bucks, bounce back, play a Pacers team that's been waiting in Indiana for some time for them. Blazers lead for much of the game. Pacers try to push their way back. Blazers get a few bad calls. The overturning of foul calls in the NBA is becoming nonsensical, if it wasn't already. At this point in time, it's hard to tell what is or isn't a foul. Something that is called a foul on the floor that looks like it would have been a foul last year is now getting reviewed and changed to a non-foul, and then how they deal with who gets the ball after those fouls also seems to change game after game. I'm going to talk about that in a few seconds. But long story short, the Blazers, behind their veterans, Jeremy Grant, Malcolm Brogdon, DeAndre Ayton, able to get that victory versus the Indiana Pacers, a very good team. Again, a team that has one of the most efficient offenses in the NBA, and I think maybe borderline one of the most efficient offenses in NBA history. Now, granted, we're not even 20 games into this thing, so that might not last, but either way, the Blazers are able to get a victory on the road in a tough environment versus a very good team. Jeremy Grant, who has been phenomenal as of late, playing 38 minutes, scoring 34 points on 12 of 18 shooting from the field and 3 of 3 shooting from 3 to go with 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks in 38 minutes. DeAndre Ayton really starting to figure out how he can score and how he can be effective in Portland's offense. 22 points on 9 of 13 shooting, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 13 rebounds, an assist, and a steal for DeAndre Ayton. And Malcolm Brogdon, who has really settled things down since returning to the lineup, going 9 of 20 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, and 5 of 6 from the free throw line for 24 points to go with 7 assists and 2 rebounds in 36 minutes. Shaedon Sharpe also turning in a Yao Ming's effort, only went 4 of 15 from the field, but managed to score 11 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and 3 steals in 35 minutes. Scoot Henderson also having one of his better offensive games, going 4 of 10 from the field, 3 of 6 from the free throw line, and 2 of 3 from 3 for 13 points. But really, it was Portland's ability to hold the Pacers to 110 points. They did shoot 48% from the field, but just 24% from 3, and they turned the ball over 20 times. That was really what made the difference in that game. As I mentioned, there was a point in the fourth quarter where So in the Bucks game, as you probably know if you watched that game on Sunday, Malcolm Brogdon fouled by Giannis Antetokounmpo late in the game. They review the play. It would have been Giannis' sixth foul. Quite a bit of contact. They end up overturning it. It's a jump ball. It goes to the Bucks. Bucks end up winning that game. Now, granted, they didn't lose that game because of the officiating, but they did lose that game because Giannis and Dame both made a parade to the free throw line throughout the entire second half. And when a play is overturned like that, it really just makes it hard to feel like you're having a fair chance to win that game. And the reason I mention that is because in the Pacer game, Shaedon Sharpe goes up for a dunk. Miles Turner meets him at the rim and does block the ball, but while holding down Shaden's jersey. They call it a foul on the floor. After a lengthy review, they say that it's incidental contact and that it's not a foul, but Portland gets the ball because DeAndre Ayton had the ball when the foul was called, I guess. But that was also the case in the Bucks game where they did a jump ball instead, and then the Bucks end up getting the possession there. So if you're watching that Pacer game, you're seeing the same thing happen again, and you're probably saying to yourself, boy, I guess we're probably in for it one more time. But the Blazers able to stay composed, finish that game out, hit some free throws. Malcolm Brogdon, a couple of very nice plays, also made his free throws as well late in the game to cement that victory. Again, after a very tough loss. They were up by 26 points versus the Bucks versus Dame, had a chance to go into Milwaukee, get a win versus a franchise all-timer, a guy who decided he didn't want to be in Portland anymore. Obviously, there's quite a bit of motivation there, I suspect, for the players, even guys who understand what it is. NBA players understand other NBA players and generally give them the latitude and the grace to say like, hey man, I understand what you're saying. I'm not going to necessarily take it personally that you want to do something else. I understand you're your own person. But still, there is that feeling where it's like, well, you didn't want me, and now I'm here, and now I have a chance to win this one. They end up losing that game, again, after being up by 26, after really having a chance in the fourth, getting really the benefit of some bad calls, or at least not getting the benefit of some good calls like the Bucks did. Then you go into the Pacer game the next night, some of the same things start happening in the fourth quarter, and you really start wondering, do we really have a chance to win this game? The answer was yes. The Blazers, as I mentioned, stayed composed. Veterans did what they needed to do. They did make a few mistakes. My dude Matisse, that behind-the-back pass to the turnover in that fourth quarter. I'm not on the road with the team right now, but when they get back, I'm definitely going to ask Matisse about that one. But the Blazers able to do what they needed to do to get that road victory in a place that's usually pretty difficult to play. Indiana, a great fan base. They're playing well this year. They're moving on to the in-season tournament, by the way. The Blazers are not. Portland gets that one. Something to really feel good about going into their next game versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. And just to get you lined up for the rest of the week, the Blazers have a couple days off before facing the Cavs in Cleveland on Thursday and then the Jazz at the end of that road trip on Saturday. After that, we wait to find out which two games the Blazers will play in the first week of December during the knockout round of the in-season tournament, which is taking place in Las Vegas. Portland will not be in Las Vegas, but they will play one home game and one road game versus teams that also did not qualify for the knockout round. The assumption is that they're going to try to set up games versus in-conference teams that you only play three times. So for the Blazers, that's teams like the Spurs, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Mavs. The Lakers have qualified for the knockout round, so it won't be the Lakers. Both the Pelicans and the Kings are at the top of their groups right now, so the games on Tuesday will decide, obviously, which one of those teams, or maybe even which couple of those teams, advance onto the knockout round in Las Vegas, and which teams Portland might be playing. It seems to me like the Spurs are kind of the odds-on favorite, seeing as how the Blazers play them twice in San Antonio, but they only come to Portland once. So for the home game, perhaps it's San Antonio. This is me spitballing. By the time you listen to this, they might have actually already announced these things. I imagine they're probably going to announce it on Wednesday. I would imagine as well that they already pretty much know what they're going to do, or at least they have the permutations figured out. So whatever the outcome is, they probably already have a good sense of what the result schedule-wise is going to be for those games. But long story short, first full week of December, the Blazers will play two games, one at home, one on the road. We don't know which teams just yet. They will be Western Conference teams, and they do not have to be teams that were in Portland's group. In fact, I imagine they probably won't be teams that were in Portland's group. All right, moving on. Injuries, as always, a big deal with the Portland Trail Blazers. Starting to get healthier, as I mentioned, Malcolm Brogdon and Scoot Henderson both back in the lineup after missing extended time. Blazers have gone 2-3 since Scoot Henderson and Malcolm Brogdon came back, and they really should have won the Bucks game as well. Everything just runs much smoother with Malcolm out there. Scoot has been coming off the bench after returning after missing almost a month. Actually, it was around 3 weeks with that ankle injury. Malcolm with a much lesser injury, a hamstring strain. Neither guy has seemed to show any issues since coming back. Both were on minutes restrictions initially. Both have looked great since coming back. As I mentioned, Scoot coming off the bench. And I imagine at this point, that's probably the healthiest thing for him. You don't want to ruin his confidence by putting him out there in situations that he's just not prepared for. And I think we saw that while Scoot had looked good at times, there's still some refinement there. And I really feel like it probably makes a bit more sense to bring him off the bench, let him play against second line guys, let him build up a little bit of confidence, let him feel like winning and losing isn't on his shoulders, which I think as a starting point guard, you probably feel quite a bit. I imagine at some point in time, Scoot will be back in the starting lineup, but I also imagine they're probably not rushing to do that. Anfernee Simons still has not returned, still looking at probably mid-December, but I suspect he's maybe a bit ahead of schedule. I know he's been doing more work on the court. Everything I've heard is that he looks great. I know he's really jonesing to get back out there. Obviously, got injured in the first game of the season, hasn't played since. This year was really supposed to be Anfernee's coming out season, his first chance to kind of step outside of Damian Lillard's shadow and show what he can do as the leader of this team. Hasn't had a chance to do that just yet. I think we're probably going to see that sooner rather than later. Again, I wouldn't at all be surprised if they just waited until mid-December regardless, but it does seem like Anfernee's return is nearing. Then you have Ish Wainwright, who on the 18th, the team said had a strain in his MCL and would be out 4 to 6 weeks. That puts Ish's return, I say return, even though I think he's only played in one game for the Blazers so far, somewhere around mid-December at the earliest to the beginning of the new year. It's a bummer that they signed Ish. They were excited about bringing him in and he still hasn't got a chance to play just yet. Hopefully he will, but that seems like it's probably a ways off still. And obviously Robert Williams III had surgery, done for the season. So that's your injury update. The Blazers getting healthier. Malcolm Brogdon, Scoot Henderson back, Anfernee Simons, assuming there's no setbacks, probably returning here sometime in the next couple weeks, maybe even less than that. Ish Wainwright, another couple weeks, maybe even a month. Robert Williams, done for the season. So there you go. All right, as we do all season long, checking in on the Trailblazers' offensive and defensive ratings throughout the 2023-24 season. As of right now, the Trailblazers are 30th in offensive rating, which is unchanged from the last time we checked in, at 105.1 points scored per 100 possessions, which is actually slightly worse also from the last time we checked in. For comparison, the Pacers, the team the Blazers bested on Monday night, lead the league with 122.5 points scored per 100 possessions. So basically, 17 points better per 100 possessions the Pacers are than the Blazers this season. But the Blazers are able to get that victory because the Pacers also have one of the worst defenses in the NBA. And on that side of the ball, Trailblazers are 15th in defensive rating, 4 spots worse than the last time we checked in, at 112.8 points allowed per 100 possessions. That's over 2 points per 100 possessions worse than the last time we checked. So a bit of slippage there. But again, as the Blazers get healthier, I think you can assume that maybe those numbers might get back to where they were at earlier in the season. Actually, maybe you probably couldn't assume that, but at least stands to reason that with more players healthy, with less guys who are maybe not yet ready to play extended NBA minutes, that you're going to see some improvement both in offensive and defensive rating over the next couple weeks. And the difference between the offensive rating and the defensive rating is a team's net rating, and at -7.7, the Blazers are 26th in net rating above the Hornets, Pistons, Grizzlies, and Spurs. And on a somewhat related note, checking on how the Trailblazers are doing versus the spread this season, the Blazers have covered in 3 straight games. They were 3.5-point underdogs to the Jazz and won by 16. They were 12.5-point underdogs to the Bucks and lost by 6. They should have won that game. And they were 11.5-point underdogs to the Pacers and won by 4 to move to 8-9 versus the spread this season, 5-12 versus the NBA, 8-9 versus the spread. And the Blazers still have not been favored going into a matchup this season. And while I think there's an outside chance that changes in Saturday's game versus the Jazz, even though the Utah Jazz are playing better and it's at home and it's the end of a road trip. So I actually don't think the Blazers are likely to be favored, but it's at least within the realm of possibility. However, I do suspect that their home game versus the Jazz on December 14th might be the first game this season in which the Blazers are favored. Obviously, that depends a lot on who's available, how the team is playing running up to that. But the Blazers and the Jazz seem like they're kind of in similar places right now, and if the Blazers are playing at home, maybe they get the benefit of the doubt from Vegas in that one, to be determined. And in terms of their season total for wins, the Blazers are 17% of the way to hitting their season over of 28.5 wins after 21% of the season, so the Blazers are a little behind schedule in terms of hitting their over. Hopefully now that guys have come back from injury, when Ant comes back as well, maybe they're able to make some progress and get back ahead of schedule in terms of hitting that over, which is 28.5 wins as set by the folks at Westgate. And before we wrap up this edition of The Briefcase, some quick Remix news. As you may have heard by now, the Remix have acquired the rights to our good buddy Mo Harkless, who did not play in the NBA last season, but I think still probably has something to give in the NBA. One thing I've learned from watching the Rip City Remix is having the rights to a player does not necessarily mean that that player is going to end up playing for you. But as of right now, as far as we know, Mo Harkless, Blazers own his rights. So if he does end up playing in the G League, as I think he might, at least as of right now, that would be with the Remix. I know a lot of people would love to see that. Mo's always had fans in Portland, both for his on-court play and who Mo is as a person. Mo was always great with me. I'm really hoping he's able to come here and maybe do a little something, maybe get himself back into the NBA. And if not, just continue playing basketball, which is something I know he loves to do as well. The Blazers also getting Ibu Baji back from the Milwaukee Herd, waving Jamare Boure. Baji, who was on the team last season as a two-way guy, now back with the Portland Trail Blazers, back on a two-way. Blazers could use help at that center position, so bringing in Baji makes some sense. Though Duop Reith has been playing a lot of those minutes as well, also on a two-way right now. Seems to me that Duop is probably maybe going to be a guy who ends up on the main roster at some point in time, but that's not a decision they have to make until I think he plays 50 games with the Blazers this year, so that's still a ways off. But Duop Reith is getting quite a bit of minutes. Mo Harkless's rights are now owned by the Remix. Ibu Baji back to a two-way for the Trailblazers. And at least in terms of games, the Remix coming off a 102-89 loss to the Salt Lake City Stars on November 26th. They play back-to-back games versus the Santa Cruz Warriors in Santa Cruz on Friday, December 1st and Saturday, December 2nd, before returning home to host the Stockton Kings on December 7th and December 9th. Tickets available for those games. People are having fun at those games. You can get courtside seats, I think, for $50 if you want to do that. Head out to North Portland, visit Child Center, catch some Remix games. You won't regret it. And that will do it for this edition of The Briefcase. Thank you for joining me, as always. Good to be back. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Talk to you later on this week. Go Blazers.